We're going to be looking in some familiar passages in the Old Testament, probably a few passages in the New Testament that have to deal with making a stand or taking a stand. The title is Here I Stand, I Can Do No Other. If you're a follower of history or a reader of especially Christian history, you may be aware who spoke those words, Here I Stand, I Can Do No Other. It was about in 1521, Martin Luther, who was a theologian, a songwriter, a professor, a priest, nailed his 95 theses. Say that fast three times, and to the doors of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. He was revolting against the Catholic Church. He was so instrumental in the Reformation. Because of his taking a stand, he was excommunicated from the church and became an outlaw. This is what he said. This is one of the statements that he made. And I quote, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the scriptures that I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against my conscience. May God help me. Amen." Martin Luther wrote those words, said those words, "Here I stand, I can do no other." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young preacher boy, Timothy. And he spoke to Timothy and he said, "For the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, to be afraid, to recoil, to be scared to make a stand, but God has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind or self-discipline." Jesus said in Mark, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Mark 8, 36 and 37. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." You finish that out first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Paul, writing to the Roman church, says, "I'm not ashamed. I'll not be humiliated or disgraced, because my confidence is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not afraid to declare it, by living it, by sharing it, by passing it on, whatever that might look like." He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." What was he saying? "I'm going to make a stand." And we know, when you follow the Apostle Paul, what making a stand would cost him. We live in a wonky world. I don't know what wonky means. Crazy, chaotic. You never know what's going to happen next. You never know what's going to happen next. It's a wonky world. And I want to be able to make a stand. without being aggressive, without being demanding, without being those things that would turn people away. We're to show dignity and respect and kindness when we share our faith. Not a, this is the way it's got to be, or the highway. Although, I will stand on the word and you will too. And when you stand on the word, it causes us to make a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Making a stand. As Martin Luther did in 1521. Here I stand. I can do no other. I'm standing on the scriptures. I'm going to nail these ideas, this thesis, to the church door, and you can excommunicate me. You can call me a criminal. You can call me an outlaw, but I can't back down from what I believe the scriptures are saying. Our scripture is found in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. And there is a lot that surrounds those verses. Just reading a couple of verses really doesn't help us capture what Joshua is saying. Joshua was one of the 12 that was chosen a long time ago to go into the promised land. He and Caleb came back and said, we can take this because God said we can and we will. But the other 10 said, no, you just don't understand. We look like grasshoppers in the eyes of these people. They've got big cities and big armies and we just can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. We can do this. And because of the other 10 and the grumbling and the complaining, for 40 years, the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness. So those 40 years have completed and Moses has died and Joshua has been given the responsibility to lead the people. And you can read, the book of Joshua is a great book to read about battles and about listening to the Lord and about what God can do in and through his people. And you come to the end of that chapter or that book in chapter 24, and let me read just a couple of verses and we'll make some conclusions of that. And then we're going to look at four other people in the Old Testament that took a stand. Some were young, some were teenagers that took a stand. Some were married ladies. Some were old. Some were young. Some, they were all in different seasons of their life. And yet they all came to that point in their life and said, I must stand on what God has said to stand on. The Titanic, on April 15th, something like that, 1912, sank in the North Atlantic on its maiden voyage. I think more than 1,500 people died because of that British passenger liner sinking. The White Star Line, their headquarters, when reports started coming back in at the loss of the great loss of life because of the sinking of the Titanic, there was a board put up in their office and there were two sides with a line down the middle, a chalkboard, if you will. On one side said saved. On the other side were the words lost. They were either saved or lost. There'll come a point in our life where either we serve and worship or we don't. There's no in-between. There's no neutrality. There's no straddling the fence. There's no, well, I think I will, or well, I'll serve the Lord 30% of my time. It's either we serve him, and Joshua brings that to a point in just a moment, or we don't serve him. If you have your Bible or it's on the screen or wherever it may be, let me just read a couple of verses out of Joshua chapter 24, beginning with verse 14. Now fear the Lord, and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Let me pause right there by saying the word serve and the word worship are interchangeable in that passage. In other words, it could be if you want to worship the Lord, it's the same as serving the Lord, just for you to know. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, if it just doesn't seem right, if you really don't want to worship the Lord, if you'd rather go back to the gods of Egypt or the Amorites, the little G-O-Ds, if you would rather worship and serve them, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Quite a statement for Joshua to make, considering he's, in just a few years he would die. He died at 110, so he's got to be 100 years old or older. But he had seen and he had experienced the grace and the mercy and the provision and the faithfulness and the goodness and all the attributes that you could name about God. He had been there. And he could come to the end of his life and say, I have been there. And I'm giving you as the congregation stood before Joshua. He said, I can't make this decision for you. I'd like to, but I can't. It's got to be a decision of your heart. It's got to be something within you that decides. He said, but if you want to go back to the way it was, go. But if you want to serve the Lord, make a commitment. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Four Old Testament characters that we'll look at briefly. The first one is Moses and the burning bush experience. You will find that in Exodus chapter 3. Here I stand in order to face my past. There may be those this morning that say, preacher, I want to make a stand for the Lord, but you don't know my past. I've got some awful things in my life, and I've done some bad things, and I don't even like talking about them. But they were awful, and I'm ashamed of my past. And because of the fear of the past, keeps you or keeps us or keeps me from making a stand. So God comes to Moses had been raised in Pharaoh's house, had the best that Egypt had to offer, had all that the world, quote unquote, had to offer. And one day he saw one of his people being beaten, and so he killed a man. It was soon discovered that he would be in trouble, so for 40 years he is a fugitive. And he goes to the desert, the far side of the desert in Midian, and he takes care of livestock. He's 80 years old now, by the way. He was 40 years in Egypt. He's 40 years in a day. He's 80. And he's tending the flock, and he looks up, and there's a bush burning, but it's not being consumed. That's pretty amazing, pretty odd. Goes over and looks at it, and you know the conversation in Exodus chapter 3. Basically, this is what happens. Moses, I'm God, I am the I am, and I'm sending you back to face your fears and to face your past to deliver my people. I can't. I stutter. Got it covered, God said. I'll send someone with you who doesn't stutter. But Moses, you're going back. And at that point, Moses had to make a stand and face his past, but he did. The point is, we have a past that may be keeping us from making a stand. You see, Satan is good at accusing us. Don't you remember all those bad things you used to do, and you want to make a stand for God while people will laugh at you? You can't make a stand for the Lord. You've messed up too many times. All that is rubbish. All that is a lie. It has been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been forgiven, redeemed, justified. One day you will be glorified. You can make a stand for God even with your past. Moses did, and so can you. We all have a past. Some of it's not very pleasant, but God calls us to stand. Why did he choose Moses? Don't know. Why does he choose me or you? Don't know. But he does. Moses had to return to Egypt, and God would work through him to save his people from their suffering. It was a time of spiritual healing to face his past. It was a time that spiritually he could be healed. Remember, he was a criminal. Killed a man. He was on the run. All that was taken care of. Our second Old Testament person is David. David was a teenager watching his father's flock. You'll find this story in, or the story of the giant at least, in 1 Samuel 17. For your reference. David's watching the flock, and he is sent word by his dad to go see how your brothers are doing. There's a battle going on. Here's some food items. Go take them to your brothers. So David is probably 13 or 14 years old, just a teenager. So he goes, and what does he see? He sees this giant that comes out several times a day. This giant comes out and taunts the people of Israel because there's no one in Israel's army courageous enough to fight the giant. David says, I've killed lions, and I've killed bears in protecting my dad's flock. This guy is nothing to me. David knew of God's protection. That steadfast confidence led David to victory, to act in faith, to see the people victorious. David would say, here I stand in order to face impossible situations. What impossible situations are facing you? David was facing an impossible situation called a giant, called Goliath, 9 feet tall, huge, had to have an armor bearer, had to have people alongside him to help him with his armor and his spear. It was so heavy. And a 13-year-old comes up and says, you're not going to do this anymore to my people because I know the God of Israel. I know Yahweh. And I have seen him and I have experienced his protection and his faithfulness. And even in the midst of situations that seem impossible for us today because there may be giants we're facing. We all face giants. And sometimes they taunt us. And sometimes they point a finger at us, saying, who are you to come at me with a slingshot and 5 smooth stones? Who are you? That's Satan whispering, taunting, pointing a finger. David would say, here I stand, and I'm going to face the giants. And we can do the same thing. We can face those giants in our life. People of faith have long faced giants, discouragement, anger, loneliness, and the list goes on. But the story of David reminds us to make a stand even when the situation seems impossible. There's a third Old Testament figure. Her name is Esther. She was a queen. She didn't start out as a queen. You'll find some of her story in Esther chapter 4. Esther's story would be something like this. Here I stand in order to face the wrongs of the day. It's a kind of a lengthy story, but really a great story of where Esther, as a Jewish girl, rises to the ranks of being queen. Her parents have died, and Mordecai, her uncle, raises her. And there's always a villain in the show, in the scripture. Haman hated the Jewish people, hated them, wanted them annihilated, was able to get the king to make some decrees and to make some decisions to where, and even had a gallows built, wanted to destroy them. Mordecai got word to Esther. And you see, unless the king invited you in, even the queen, you were likely to lose your life. And Esther knew that. She had not been invited in to the king, even though she was the queen. And who knows, for such a time as this, that God has raised me to deliver my people. Who knows, for such a time as this. And after the conversation with her uncle and knowing that the Jewish people were in peril, she went into the king and she said, she took a stand. If I die, I die, but I've got to do this. I have got to stand with God and his people, even if it costs me everything. I've got to. Esther goes into the king, explains the situation. The Jewish people are saved. Haman is hung on the gallows that he had built. Proverbs 31:8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Learn to do good in Isaiah chapter 1. Seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and plead the widow's cause. Proverbs 24, a righteous man knows the rights of the poor and the wrongs of the rich, and will not hesitate to do what is right on behalf of the poor or needy. Here I stand in order to right some wrongs of the day. Since it's such a wonky time, I'm going to make a stand for what is right. Based on what Scripture has said, what God has called me to do, this is where I stand, no matter the cost. I stand on God's side. There's one last person that we'll look at briefly. His name is Daniel. You'll find his story in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel would say, here I stand in order to face situations beyond my control. Most of us, I think, I like to be in control. I like driving my own car. I don't want to have a car that drives itself. I just can't do that. I just can't say, okay, take me to Dallas, and we've got to go through Austin up I-35. Can we bypass? Can we? And I don't have an electric car or one that drives itself. I don't know if they talk back to you or if they just say, hey, you put me in control, take a nap. I could not take a nap with a self-driving car. It's just not going to happen. There is in me a sense of wanting to be in control. And when life gets out of control, it can be very disruptive to my spirit. I kind of have a regimen of things I like to do during the week, and when that regimen gets messed up, it kind of stresses me out. Maybe I'm the only one, or maybe I'm odd in that situation, but I think a lot of people like control, and so when life gets out of control, what do we do? Daniel would be the one to say, here I stand, in order to face situations that are outside of my control. A decree, a law, a commandment came down from the king that basically said for the next 30 days, no one can pray to their God. They've got to pray to me. Daniel said, I can't do it. I just can't. I'm not going to pray to a heathen God or a heathen king. I'm just not. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep me against that day. I know who I'm praying to, and it's Yahweh. So he goes about his praying regime of three times a day. And he knew what would happen. The bad guys would catch him, report it to the king. Daniel gets thrown into a den of lions. You know the end of the story. The next day he comes out without even a scratch. Control. When we are not in control, one thing is for certain, and that is God has this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for all things work together for the good of them that love God, called according to his purpose. For the purpose of being changed, transformed, conformed into the image of Christ. So Daniel's life was out of control, but he knew who he was praying to because he knew the one who was faithful. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good. He protects his people in times of trouble. He takes care of those who turn to him. We take a moment and go back to Martin Luther, where he said, here I stand, I can do no other. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Moses had to face his past to be able to stand. David, the 13-year-old, the teenager, who was watching the sheep, the cattle, the livestock, said, I'm going to make a stand, and I'm going to take on the giants of my life. Esther, who knows for such a time as this that God has elevated me as queen in order to save my people. And if I die, I die, but I'm making a stand. And then, oh, Daniel, I'm going to keep praying. If you throw me in the lion's den, king, you have to do what you have to do, but I'm making a stand. I have a few concluding remarks before our invitation. Our praise team will come. Is your mind made up? Do you know where you stand with God? Are you ready to serve the Lord? Remember earlier I said that the term worship and serve are interchangeable with these verses. Are you ready to worship? Are you ready to serve the Lord? No one gets a free ride. No one can straddle the fence forever. There is no room for neutrality. If you choose not to choose, you have already made your choice. Cast your vote. Choose your God. I pray you choose wisely. As Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord, and we just ask for you to help us to make that stand. I didn't say it'd be easy. I didn't say that others would want to jump in. Sometimes, Lord, we stand alone, but we still stand. Here I stand, and I can do no other. I stand when I face the fears of my past. I stand when I face the giants of life. I stand when I face life out of control. Lord, whatever it is that may be happening around me, I'm going to stand with you, Lord. I'm going to stand with you today. And God, by your grace, I want to stand with you tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next. Lord, help these, your people, to choose wisely and make a stand for Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.